John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Book of John chapter 14. And excuse me for a minute. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That ends it, the discussion right there when it comes to how do you get to heaven. When it comes to who is the Savior, who, what is the way to heaven, that ends the discussion. Nobody else qualifies. It's only Jesus. There is no other. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, period. You can't get up any other way. If you try to go up some other way, you're a thief and a robber. You're trying to steal what don't belong to you. You can't take salvation, you can only receive it. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care if they claim to be Christian or whatever they want to claim to be. If they say there's some other way to heaven other than through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are a liar. And if you think for one moment that you're going to go to heaven based on something that you have done or will do, some work or effort of yours, you're lying to yourself and you're calling God a liar. Jesus is the only way. The only thing you can do is humble yourself and receive Him as your Savior. That's the best you can possibly do. It's the only thing you can do. But let's go on, read on. That's not why I'm preaching. I just thought I'd throw that in there because it's important. He said, if ye had known me, verse 7, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, showest the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Lord, help us to simply believe the truth of it. Help us to understand the truth of it. Help us to desire the truth of it. Above all things, Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to see what a great gift it is to have a comforter to be with us always. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, there's so many things I could preach on here, but I kind of want to focus on the work of the Spirit. I talked this morning in the Sunday school hour, I talked about the things that Jesus had prayed for us and prayed that God the Father would do for us and in us and through us at the request of His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is not praying, He's teaching. And He's given us information about the Holy Ghost, about the Holy Spirit. And He's telling us what He's here for. And I wanted to spend some time on that because, you know, there are some things that we need to, if we're ever going to advance in the Christian life, there are some things we have to understand, we have to believe, and we have to embrace. We can't listen to the lies of the world. And we can't listen to the lies in our own hearts, and we can't listen to our feelings or whatever they may be, because all of those things are changeable. The world is constantly changing, isn't it? You know, one minute the world's going to be in an ice age, and the next minute it's going to boil over. You know, you just don't know what's going to happen. And one minute coffee's good for you, next minute it's bad, then it's good, then it's bad, then it's this, then it's that. And they change on everything. And your feelings change all the time too, don't they? Sometimes we feel like good. And sometimes we feel bad, and they change. You know, I remember my stepmother. She used to say, "Mama, I said, you don't look very good." And she said, "I feel like death warmed over." And then she was kind of a up and down type of person, and sometimes she'd be just happy as a lark and everything. I remember that about her. Her moods were so changeable, but ours are too. We feel one way. Feelings change all the time, don't they? Circumstances change. Everything changes. But if we're going to navigate properly through that, we have to hold on to the things that are solid, that are there. And in John chapter 14 verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, and for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." This, the Holy Spirit, is the means by which Christ indwells us. He's the person. He's the earnest of our inheritance. If you go over to the book of Ephesians chapter 1, it says in verse 11, it says, "In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom ye also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." And so when we look at what the scripture says here, he says very clearly, he says that when you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so therein you see the work that God did. And when Jesus told them about the Holy Ghost, he said the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, he said that he would abide with us forever. And notice he said, "I will give you another comforter." Well, who's the first comforter? That's Jesus. Amen. All right, but the other comforter, another comforter, is one that will not just be around us, but will be within us, that will live and work in us. And that's the work of the Spirit. The first thing about this Spirit is he will abide with us forever. He is the earnest of our inheritance. He dwells in the believer, and that is the surety of our salvation. The Spirit beareth witness that with our spirit that we're the sons of God. He He tells us that. That's why I believe that as we read the book of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and everything, and they talk about the work of the Spirit of the world being left to the devil and everything like that. That's why I believe that believers will be taken out of the world, because if the influence of the Spirit, now the Spirit is eternal. He can't be taken out of the world. He's everywhere. But if His influence is taken from the world, then it has to be taken from us too, doesn't it? And that's why I believe that when that event comes, that's what we talk about, of being caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so when we look at that day, that's why I believe, because Jesus said He will abide with you forever. Now, I don't know about you, but forever means forever. Amen. You know, some people like to say, well, I'll love you forever, right? That type of thing. But and we like to say that, you know, I'll love my wife forever and everything like that. But they have that attitude, but when they get up to stand before the preacher or the justice, they say what? Till death do us part. Because we can't guarantee forever, can we? But God does. God does. So the Spirit is there. He's to abide with us forever. So what is He supposed to do during this time He's with us all this time? Well, the Scripture's really, really straightforward. If we jump down to verse 26, He says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you." Now, there's a lot in between those two verses that needs to be read, but I just want to focus on the work of the Holy Spirit. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things. And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, I've said it before. And this is one of the importance of reading the Bible. We iterate that again. It's hard to remember something you've never been exposed to. And yes, the Holy Spirit could bring to remembrance everything that Jesus has said. He could put in your mind everything that Jesus has said. You could get the Word of God directly that way. And in some ways, in a sense, you do, as He convicts of sin and of righteousness, of judgment, and all that type of thing when the Spirit does His work. But He is there. And God said specifically He would bring to remembrance, right? So, obviously Jesus wanted us to either hear or read the words of God, the Word of God, the things that Jesus said while He walked this earth. That's why we have a Bible. And if you wonder... And I understand some of us have better memories than others, and sometimes like that. And most of the time, it's not really better memories. It's just we have different ways of remembering. All right? And so if you have a specific way of having to remember things, and that way of remembering things is not part and parcel of your regular life, then you have to work a little harder at it. You have to find a way to remember it, right? And it may be word association, it may be any type of thing that helps you remember and all that type of stuff. But the bottom line is that regardless of your mode of memorizing things and learning things like that, if you're a child of God, you have the Spirit of God. And he will teach you, and he will bring to remembrance all things. If you go to the book of 1 John chapter 2, in verse 26, he said, "These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which ye have received of him that abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as that same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him." So you have what is necessary to learn everything you need without anybody else. You can learn everything in the Bible. And you can learn everything you need on the day-to-day basis. And I'm not just talking about the knowledge of it, in other words, not just being able to quote chapter and verse. That'd be a great thing to do. And memorizing scripture is wonderful. But he's going to bring it to remembrance. If it's there, it's available. But he doesn't just do that. He teaches you. Teaches you how to apply it. How to use it. That is the work of the Holy Spirit.
I can't learn the Bible. Quit lying. Or, better yet, quit calling God a liar. So you're being mean today, preacher. No, I'm not being mean. I'm trying to help you.
And I know the difference because you know what? Before I got saved, I read a lot of the Bible. I didn't remember. But after I got saved, things changed. And it should change for all of us. But so often the thing that hinders us is unbelief. And then he says about the Holy Spirit, if you turn over to chapter 15, he says this. He says in verse 26, he says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning, talking to his disciples. But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is going to testify of Jesus. And not only that, he said, we're going to bear witness too. Obviously, that's the disciples, but by extension, us, because the work's still going on. The disciples of that day, but by extension to us, the work is going on. So he's not only going to teach you all things, but he's going to help you be a witness. He's going to help you be a witness. We talked this morning about Jesus' prayer for us to be witnesses and testify of him and all the things that we're doing, to do the work that the Father sent him to do. Right? As far as the work of salvation, being ambassadors of Christ. And we not only have Jesus' prayer, but we have the answer to the prayer is the Spirit of God that indwells us to give us the ability. What is it you need to become a better soul winner? What is it you need to become a better witness for Christ? It's there. It's available. Step out by faith. And let him do his work. He'll testify of Jesus and he'll help you testify of Jesus.
He'll help you bear witness and testify of Jesus. You know, it talks about the devil in the book of Revelation. And he said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto death. And also in the book of Revelation it says, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Something to think about. And then verse 7 of chapter 16, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now, not only will he testify, not only will he help us testify, but he's also going to be working on the world while he's working in us. He's going to work on the world while he works in us. While he works in us to become a better witness, a better soul winner, he's working on the world, reproving them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So we can succeed. We can accomplish what we need to accomplish. So he's going to teach us all things. He's going to make us better witnesses and testimony of Christ. He's going to make us remember what we need to remember, help us to remember what we need to remember. And then in verse 12 he says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He'll teach you and guide you into the truth. He'll lead you. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Where I am or what I be, I know 'tis God that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me. By his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. The Spirit of God, he'll lead, guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. You know, that is an amazing thing, that he'll show you things to come. We talked about that this morning too. I have not seen, ears not heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared that for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by what? His Spirit. Spirit searches the deep things of God. What he hears, he speaks. He makes heaven real to us. He makes our future real to us. It not just something that we hear about and read about. That's the difference between the believer and the world. The world hears about heaven and hopes they get to go there. The Christian knows they're going there and begins to see it from afar. Heaven is not something we tell little children to comfort them when somebody that they love dies, and we're trying to explain away death to them, because in the sorrow of death we're trying to make the little children feel better because, oh, they're in heaven now. No, it's reality. It's a place, not a concept. I hope heaven's a place to you. He'll show you things to come. We can look at the world and we can see the way that it's going, and we can see how the things are happening to where the words of the Word of God are becoming more true every day about the future of this earth, because we see it being played out before our eyes, and we know. Because we've been shown. Isn't it amazing that the rest of the world can't see what the Bible is saying? They know what the Bible says. It's not true, as they march headlong into doing exactly what God says is going to happen. The world looks at the world and says, we're going to save the world, even if it kills us. You common people, you got to hurt bad because we got to save the world. While they're plunging the world right to where God says it's going to be. And I'm all good for, I'm glad for all the things that President Trump did, and there's ways he could have been a much better president. But I'm happy for the things that he saw, the things that he did. But do you see how easily people, even people professing faith, gravitate, and you look at it on the left, and they gravitate to one idea or one person to the point to where if you were... I mean, I had people get mad at me just because I said I didn't like one particular thing that President Trump did, and people got all mad like I was some type of heretic or something. And think about that. Why would you do that? Why can't you have a discussion anymore? Why can't you say, we say nobody's perfect, but man, when you go about, and some people are like that. They get so invested in a person. You can easily see how somebody one day is going to get the worship of the whole world. You can see that. How some man, some fallible man, is going to be worshipped. All the world will worship the beast. We see that, don't we? We can see it coming. So he shows us things to come. We can see the scripture being played out. We can understand it. We see it as a reality, not as a fairy tale. We see the truth of it happening throughout the day. He'll show you things to come. And then verse 14, he said, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore I said, he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. It's an amazing thing. When we look at this, he'll glorify Jesus. All the words that Jesus said about this world are coming true, and you can see them. By the way, if you want to have a spirit-filled service, it'll be where everybody's glorifying Jesus. We'll find out a little later, he's not going to speak about himself. The Holy Spirit's not going to speak about himself. He's going to glorify Jesus. He said, for he shall not speak, and we don't have to find out later, he just said it, he shall not speak of himself, but so he shall hear that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So that is the work of the Spirit. That's the things that he's doing. He gives us what we need. He teaches us what we need to live, how we need to live, gives us what we need to understand. He's the earnest of our inheritance. He's with us forever. He's the indwelling of Christ in our hearts. He's all of these things. This is what who he is. And yet, so often, we have Christians that act like they can't hear anything from God. Are they Christians? Are they Christians? Do you hear from heaven? Does the Spirit of God speak to you? If he doesn't, there's a problem. Because he hasn't gone anywhere. If you're saved, Jesus said, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And he said, he shall abide with you forever. Always. Forever is forever. There's no end to forever. So he didn't leave. So if you don't hear him, what's the problem? If you're not learning, what's the problem? Now, if you're lost, I understand that. You might hear the Spirit convict you of your sins and convict you of your need to be saved. But if you say you're saved, what's the problem? Why won't you hear? It's no wonder that Jesus said over and over to the letters in the seven churches, "He that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the seven churches, unto the churches. What's the problem? The problem is you won't hear. The problem is you won't listen. The problem is you're drowning out the Spirit of God by listening to the world. I actually knew of a person one time. I forget his name, but he would sit in front of the TV, and when he didn't want to talk anymore, I'm trying to remember his name, it was growing up, he'd sit in front of the TV, and he had the TV right there at arm's length, because they didn't have remotes at that time, and he'd have the TV at, you know, right there near at arm's length. All he had to do was lean forward, turn it on, turn it off, whatever the case may be. And when he got to the point where he didn't want to hear anybody else talking, he got tired of talking, he'd just reach over and turn the TV up. When you were talking to him and everything, he's a friend of my dad's and everything like that, when he didn't want to talk anymore, he'd just reach over and turn the TV up. And I was like, that was his sign that the discussion is over, don't bother talking to me anymore, I ain't listening. Maybe that's what we do. We don't like what the Spirit is saying to us because we don't want to face ourselves as we are, and so we turn up the world, turn up the volume on the world so we can try to drown him out. Is that the way you're doing? I've known another person in my life, and I believe his name, his nickname was Smokey, and I'm trying to remember. He was an older fella and stuff like that. And he's the type of fella that he wouldn't just turn up the volume if he didn't want to talk to you. He'd just get himself busy doing something, ignore you. He's tired of talking. He'd just get up and go start doing something. You'd be talking to him, and he'd just be going from activity to activity and doing that. Maybe that's what you're doing. Find something else to occupy your mind. Don't want to hear anymore. Don't want to listen anymore. Is that how you're doing with the Spirit of God? Something to think about. He's there. If you're saved, he's there. He abides with you forever. He's there to teach you. He's there to help you remember. He's there to guide you in all truth and lead you. He's there to help you to be a better witness for Christ. He's there to make you what you ought to be and all that focus. He's there to glorify Christ in you. He's constantly telling you about the Lord Jesus. He's not speaking about himself. He's not over there saying, "Hey, I'm the Holy Ghost, remember me." He's saying, Your Savior loves you. Come back. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to walk with God. Remember what He said. He's there to, when we're walking with Him and we're tempted to come over here and go this way, He's there to say, you don't want to go there. Remember what Jesus said about that. Remember what the Bible says about that. Not just to get us on the right path, but to keep us there, to teach us, to help us grow. I don't know what to do. What does the Bible say? He can help you in that way. He's the Spirit of God. He dwells in you. And if the Spirit of God doesn't dwell in you, you're not saved. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you're not born again, if you're not indwelt by the Spirit of God, you are not a Christian. I don't care what you call yourself. You need to repent and believe the gospel. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And after you trust in Christ as your Savior, then the Spirit of God will come in. But not before. After that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Spirit of God, do you hear the voice of the Spirit of God? Does He teach you? Does He guide you? Does He help you? Or is all this I'm preaching foreign to you? I think you need to answer that question, don't you? Or maybe you know what it's like to have the Spirit lead you and you've just been turning up the volume on the world to try to drown Him out. Or maybe you're just getting yourself busy. Whatever the case may be, only question you can answer. But He's there. If you're God's child, He's there. You ever seen a little child pretend that somebody wasn't there? Got mad at them and they just pretended they weren't even there. Is that what you're doing with the Spirit of God? Something to think about. Because everything that's there is these are guarantees. This is what He does. This is what He will do for us. And I don't know why we wouldn't want it. You know, when the Scripture says there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Oh, our Lord is with us through the indwelling of the Spirit. He's with us always. Forever. And praise the Lord for that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, You know our hearts and You know everything that the Scripture says. And that, Lord, we know what You've told us about the work of the Spirit. So Lord, I just pray You'd help us to be willing to just humble ourselves and allow Him to work. Just as we humbled ourselves and put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and the shedding of His blood as payment for our sins and His resurrection, that we would just humble ourselves and believe what You say about the Spirit of God indwelling us. And Lord, let that work begin and continue. Lord, You know every heart. You know what the problem is. I just pray something I have said, You've been able to use it for Your glory and to make a difference in somebody's life. Now, Father, we just pray that You would help us to learn to yield and listen to this One who abides with us forever, this Comforter, the Holy Ghost. And Father, if there's one that's lost, not saved, I pray for them that they might see the truth and see themselves needing a Savior and see Jesus as that Savior and put their faith and trust in Him so that they too could be sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise unto the day of redemption. And help us who have been sealed not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.